Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sideshow Garden Podcast.
It's another Friday afternoon, and this is part two with Ian Price, Ian Price Designs. Ian is building a garden at Chelsea 2017. Oh, before I go any further, at Sideshow on Twitter, facebook.com/thesideshow and sideshow.com. And if you are listening to this on iTunes, press the middle button on your phone, do me the favour, and just give it a wee rate and review. Apparently it does something to, I don't know, make us super duper kind of thing, but it would be very much appreciated. We're in my kitchen. For those who aren't aware, Ian is one of the few who has had the privilege to sit on my collection of chairs that cost me 30 quid.
Is that why one of them fell apart then, was it, Pete? It wasn't my fault, I promise.
No, it fell apart because let's not get into furniture repairs at this moment in time. If I remember it correctly, at the end of the last episode, we were talking about where and how you got to the garden that you're on the verge of building. So not to start on a, how do I phrase it, a negative. We have to get into it at some point in time. So don't get me wrong, we had it with Charlotte Harris a couple of weeks ago when we interviewed her, and I think some of you were kind of saying that, and fair point, that I might have been a little bit hard on Charlotte. It wasn't, believe me, it wasn't my intention. And I'll put it back to you this way. The answers that Charlotte gives are far more important than the questions that I asked. To your own gardening, what's the behind the scenes on it?
Well, the garden's called Mindshop. It's sponsored by ID Verde and then supported by Inspire Wellbeing. It's literally a physical manifestation of what I went through based on my own experiences of many years, on and off, more off than on, and then sometimes more on than off, of poor mental health. And this, in my own instance, it's depression that kind of just took me out by the legs. So what this garden represents, while it is my story and my design, it seems to have sort of struck a chord, and people have been able to identify with it and take out elements of it from their own perspective, from their own stories. There's a few elements within the garden that are representative and of various different layers that you can read into this garden. Because first of all, I don't want visitors to walk up and go, "What's this all about?" Well, I do, but I don't want them to kind of go with disdain, you know, look at disdain and go, "I don't understand it," and then walk away. It's a garden that shouldn't for everybody, because everybody has mental health. Now, sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not so good. And this garden is to sort of start a conversation and help to try and reduce the stigma that is associated with depression and mental health. Because everybody turns around and goes, "Oh, he's got mental health problems." And that's supposed to be a bad thing. Well, it's a good thing in the fact that they identify that they've got mental health problems. I kind of look at it as being health rather than just mental health, because everybody seems to get scared when you raise the word mental in a conversation. You know, it's taken out of context.
Well, let's go to that part, because I think some people design gardens around or based on an inspiration or based on an ideology or maybe based on an experience or a piece of landscape that they're almost trying to replicate to an extent. Yours, it's not like you decided, well, there's a topic that is, you know, based on Arsene Wenger, maybe, you know, and should he or should he not, and the pro and for and against that, and you've designed the garden based around that. This is, in this case, you're Arsene Wenger, let's say, designing that garden based around his own experiences. Is that I know that's a funny way to put it, but is that a fair way to put that?
No, it's understandable, because when I came up with this idea, I mean, I've had it for many, many years to try and combine my negative experience with the positive experience of sharing my story, allowing people to talk about health problems, in this instance more mental health, and then also to try and reduce the stigma associated with it, because I have no shame in where I have been in my life, and if it hadn't have been for all of that, then I wouldn't be right here right now on the cusp of have designed it, but on making a garden at Chelsea reality.
Okay, right. Now, for those of you who are unaware, we would have had Ian on, as you noted in the previous episode, in 2013, which is kind of 4 years ago. And by all means, do go back and listen to that. And I haven't listened to it pre this interview being done. So I'm going to assume that this is your first time meeting Ian. He's obviously grown as a man and as an individual in between that. Do you want to go briefly into the negative and therefore then the positive of how that all pieced together?
Yeah. Looking back, I don't really remember half of my 20s and the beginning of my 30s. It's like I'd written down everything on post-it notes that happened on a daily basis, throwing all of those notes up into the air, and the wind blew some of them away. Some of them landed, can't join them all up. Some of them get covered. Some of them landed upside down. So a lot of instances, I can't actually chronologically put those years of my life in order again.
How bad did things get for you?
Things got particularly bad. You know, for me, I ended up in hospital after a suicide attempt, after many years of trying to kind of struggle on. First of all, not knowing what was wrong. Secondly, thinking that I was the only one ever has felt like this at all ever. And then thirdly, not knowing where to get help. And, you know, there were some people that turned around and said, "Oh, Ian, you're always happy-go-lucky. You usually got a smile on your face. You're not depressed." Depression's not sadness. Depression's much, much stronger than that. But it's kind of just under the surface of the water, just ready to grab you and pull you down. It took me a long time to figure out what was wrong. And it also took me a long time to figure out how to make it better and how to get help, where to get help, and what help was the best for me. There's a huge amount of help available to everybody out there, and I would actively encourage everybody that think they may have some sort of mental health difficulties to just read up on it, to go and find out, to talk, to ask anybody of that subject to see how best that they can get that help. So I tried, you know, the medication, I tried therapies, I tried a variety of different things. And the difficult part for me was actually sustaining that help and applying it directly into my life and holding on to it and running with it. So what I eventually used to say that in 2011, this was 6 months after my suicide attempt, when I ended up in hospital, I built a garden at the Garden Show Ireland in Hillsborough. And it was based around that same sort of theme. Now, the main reason for doing that garden was to prove it to myself that I could do it. It wasn't to gain medals. It wasn't to do anything else. It was to kind of go, you know, I've been where I've been, and I have no shame in telling everybody, and I hopefully this will start a conversation. And that did. And that was a much smaller stage, as I'm sure everybody would be aware, than Chelsea. So my biggest hope for this garden is that it's able to reach so many more people that may or may not understand, that may or may not suffer with depression or associated other mental health problems.
Did you find, and let's be frank about it, you've got a good lady there by your side, there's children involved?
No. The only animals in their house are two dogs and me. There's no children at all. And
okay, well, let's sidetrack on this, or let's stick on that one, because you've got either or, whichever way you want to call it, you've got bills, you've got the mortgage, or there's a rent, or there's a car, and there's an electricity bill, and there's et cetera, and the list goes on. You have the same bills, and, you know, whether I like it or not, and I apologies for maybe in the way I'm rounding this conversation, hopefully by the end of the show it all kind of makes sense, but you turn around, build a garden based on that, in which you basically open up a can of worms, be they good or bad, to discuss essentially mental health on a stage, irrespective of the size of that stage, in this case in Garden Show Ireland, former guest of the show, I should add. And did that have an adverse effect on business, in the sense that people maybe, I say, question mark and brackets, or potentially might have then turned around and said, "Jesus, don't ask your man, he's not well in the head." And I say that with the greatest of apologies and sincerity of not taking the mick out of you in how I phrased that, and I apologise for it if it came across wrong, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But did that happen, or did you experience any of that?
First of all, no need to apologise. Because of the nature of the subject, people are naturally and understandably wary of kind of broaching the subject of mental health. And in terms of people contacting me to design their gardens, I can't tell, and nor never will be able to tell, those that have taken an adverse reaction to that news that, okay, Ian, depression, garden designer, oh, we're not touching him because just in case. I'll never know that because they won't get in touch. But the other side of it is there are so many more people that have turned around and go, Ian, we didn't know. We love your story. It's brilliant that you're able to stand up. Some people have called me brave. I don't see myself as being brave. I get help. This is going to sound a little odd, but I get help by helping others and helping to inspire others to make it happen. Because it was a garden that I did a number of years back up in Lisburn, and I actually met the client a good few weeks ago now in Greenmount, and she came up, she gave me a big hug and said, Ian, you actually inspired me to change my career and become a horticulturist. And now she works in community gardens, getting people out there growing that haven't the opportunity. Again, opportunity is the biggest thing. Giving them the opportunity to get their hands dirty and realise where their food comes from the ground. And that's huge to me. I mean, I had a smile on my face for a number of days after that, and kind of a glowing feeling inside, selfishly, but I think in a right way. So it's really difficult to kind of pinpoint exactly where... how you get help and where you get help, and I'm starting to waffle.
No, okay, right. Well, let's bring it back to a point. Your sponsors of the show garden, who are they? Could be because you said sponsored by and assisted by, and I'll reference the Sod Show in this, where on one hand, Tim Howell, by the way, a shout out to you, my man, you know, one of the greatest supporters of the show, equally, I think on patreon.com, it's up on sideshow.com, we've got one patron of the show, which is basically $1 a month, two spots coffee do, obviously the coffee for us, but there's no money exchanges hands, and again, if you go through the Sideshow history, what you actually realise is it's, as I always phrase it, it's built by really kind people with great big hearts. And I'm just a glorified microphone holder on their behalf. A very good looking one, but nonetheless. But do you get what I'm saying? So yeah. It's not one big bag of cash. It's not even cash. It's all of the things pieced together. Have you got one of them kind of happening?
Well, you say there's a difference between a sponsor and a supporter, which there is. The supporting charity, I mean, I would never ask a charity to give me money to take away from the good service that they can do. And that's why Inspire have been really good in endorsing the garden, because it kind of gives it a little bit of kudos, a little bit of credibility, really. And that's what got me through the application process. And once the RHS said yes... it was just a random message out of the blue that I got from one of the directors in this company, ID Verde, who used to be the landscape group, and they were bought over by a French company, and there's kind of a blanket umbrella of ID Verde. But randomly, he went to the same university as I did. He knows the contractor that's coming along board in this. He's Conway Landscapes. They've got 14, 15 show gardens underneath their belt with a variety of different metals from... you know, the golds, the silvers, the silver gilts, everything in there. And they're an invaluable source of information and knowledge and experience. The idea of turning around and said, we really get what you're trying to do. And they provide maintenance. They look after the Olympic Park in London, okay. For example. They're a large landscaping firm. They do design, build, construction. They do maintenance, they do regeneration of areas. There's a huge amount of people employed. There's over 4,000 people employed in this company alone, okay. With 80 offices throughout the whole of the UK and France.
Right.
So if we're talking kind of about mental health, the official figures so far, now this may change, but 1 in 4 people have been suffering or diagnosed with moderate to severe depression. So that in effect is 1,000 people employed by ID Verde have potentially got per mental health. And that's a huge thing, because they recognise that. They recognise the fact that, and they've supported other campaigns for regeneration of green space, because there's scientific links between as I'm sure people will kind of realise, the benefits of green space to your mental and physical well-being, even by looking out the window and seeing green space in your day-to-day work, in your office, if you've got a window of trees that you can look out at, and you know, landscape in general, it gives you kind of a warmer feeling inside. But even getting out into the garden and getting your hands dirty in soil and then seeing something grow gives you a feeling of empowerment, the fact that you've made that grow, that particular plant grow, that garden come together, that landscape form, you know. So they realised that, and they were, with this kind of random message out of the blue, Alistair, actually, that's the representative in ID Verde, he offered help, and I automatically assumed that he wanted to come along and help plant. I went, that's great, please do come along, just get in touch with me closer to the time. Meanwhile, in the back of my head, I'm going, I don't know if this garden's actually going to happen because I haven't got the sponsorship. And then he turned around and says, no, it wasn't with the planting, it was kind of with financial support. And I went, in my head, I went, right, we need to have a very different conversation then. But on that side of things as well, there have been so many people kind of offering help. Now, it's a great opportunity to be able to attend Chelsea in the middle of the build and see all the hubbub and everything that goes around with it. And that's why another reason why I invited and given Riddle College students, Riddle University College, where I studied and did my landscape and garden design degree. As I said in part one, I went back and talked about the garden and talked to the students about the real world, not just the student world of garden design. And I've given them the opportunity for a number of the students to come along and help with the planting of it. And then also be able to take the opportunity to man the show and have a wander around. And I'm not going to make them stand there all day and just hand out leaflets and not allowed to move from 3 feet away from the garden. I think they need to be able to go on around and absorb everything that's going on.
Charlotte Harris, though, who, and I know we noted Charlotte in last week's show, but she would have gone and worked on the planting of and the clairvoyants of this world, and like the list is endless, the amount of people I know who've gone and done it. But I think probably Charlotte is the one that jumps off the page to me, who, having gone and essentially worked, I got her free gratis, yes, the head has been nodded, but having gone and done that, I mean, she would not be, if you listen to that interview and you go back to it, she literally can't, or at least what I took from it was, I can't emphasise, based on her interview, how invaluable that planting, you call it planting, but doing it at the highest level to a standard, even just opening your eyes and seeing what's happening around you. Like, it's ridiculous, but also hugely important. And I know if I turn around in any industry and say, I'm going to go and take 3 weeks of my life, essentially a month, work for free, building a Chelsea show garden for free, people would scratch their head and query it. But it is invaluable.
It's massively invaluable. I mean, as you rightly point out, it is the highest level. It is a flower show. It's all about plants, but plants are only, in my head, as a garden designer, they're only relevant when they're put together. You know, I wouldn't be and others are, you know, a collector of plants. Yeah. I see them as creating an atmosphere and creating a space, which to me is a more important thing. But the Riddle College students, and there's other alumni from Riddle College who are coming along to help because they wanted to, they asked, and I'm more than happy to bring everybody along. It's going to be a great atmosphere, everybody working together. But it is the highest level, and it is a scary prospect, but it's a really exciting opportunity as well.
Where's your garden? You're not on the, so to speak, the main avenue category. You're around the corner, if I remember, at the back of the main flower hall, are you?
Yeah, it's within the fresh garden category. Because these gardens, not only are they a little bit smaller than some of the main main avenue gardens and the largest. It's 6 metres by 7 metres.
Well, when you bear in mind a standard garden, a large garden, which I would have done at Bloom in the Park, is I think it's a 20 by 10 approximately. So you're
it's not far off half that, no. You know, just under half of that. But it's by no means, this is sort of an indicator of the level of detail. It has to be the same. The level of finish has to be the same. as all of these larger show gardens. But there's no point in me jumping in the deep end that much to turn around and try and take on the responsibility from a sponsor's perspective of creating a 220 square metre garden, having not dipped my toe into the RHS Chelsea Flower Show before that. So this not only is an opportunity to showcase the anti-stigma of a mind trap, that's the main message of it, but it's also an opportunity to start smaller and hopefully in the future then build on bigger from that.
Have you got a home for the garden after? Has that been decided? Has anybody come to you for it?
In terms of a home afterwards, it's really difficult because the main elements are, a lot of them are built off-site and then plunked in. I say that, it's just delicate. That's all it is. It's just plunked in. No, there's a lot more to it than that. Cormac Conway Landscapes will tell you that for certain. There's certain elements within that that can go on and be reused in context, hopefully, because I think it's a garden that people should be able to experience from the inside. But the plants, we're going to be selling off the plants as the usual bell rings on Saturday afternoon, Saturday evening at the Chelsea Flower Show. And the proceeds for that are going to go back to Inspire, as well as Perennial, who are...
Oh, jeepers, they're brilliant. How did they get involved with you?
It's kind of a bit random, because when I mentioned Greenmount, I actually met with Laura, who you interviewed.
Yeah, sorry, Greenmount, just to clarify, is the college.
Yes. It's ID Verde. We're very keen to make sure that they give back. And I think it's a brilliant idea, because, again, that's what the essence of the garden is, to give back. And, I mean, I hadn't really heard of Perennial until sort of recent years. Maybe that's it. 30 miles of water is a big barrier. I'm not quite sure. But having sort of seen and chatted to Laura all about the whole process and everything that's associated with it, it's great to be able to kind of give back, because they do great work for those in the horticultural industry that are in need. Yeah. Like I was, but I didn't know of Perennial nor any of those sort of similar services. I mean, their Perennial's been going for over 177 years.
Well, Perennial are on the go pre the famine, and the interview you're looking for is with Laura Garnett of Perennial, and just stick it into iTunes and it'll come up for you. But that is more than well worth taking a listen to. It's a funny one, but when you close your eyes, are you starting to get in the nerves of the people around you? Is it a case of that Aveen doesn't shut up talking about that garden, I am going to throw a Wellington boot at him? Are you at that level of necessity to, obviously, again, you know, it's we're heading to the World Cup kind of thing, but are they, I say jestfully, at that point with you?
Yeah. yeah. My girlfriend has already said not that long ago that she's become a Chelsea widow, and it hasn't even started yet. You know, the build hasn't started yet, and she's already a Chelsea widow. It does become an obsession, because what you've one opportunity to do your first RHS Chelsea Flower Show garden, one opportunity, and you want to make sure that everybody around you knows. Well, everybody around me, I've managed to bring in people with a huge amount of experience in terms of companies. I mean, CED supplying the stone, Patio and Daniel from Patio have built many elements from various different show gardens up to Hampton Court, including Bloom, you know, your home garden show. I've got Landscape Plus supplying the lighting, and they've supplied the top end show gardens. I've got Kelways, who are just, 90% of Kelways Nursery's business is supplying plants for Chelsea Flower Show. That's what level that they're at. I've got Bartsham supplying the trees, and randomly, actually, they're my next door neighbours at the show, which I didn't realise until sort of fairly recently. And as I say, Conway Landscapes with their umpteen medals, it's an huge amount of experience. So you kind of, you set it down, and while it's to say it's your design, it's a design means nothing unless it can get built. And yes, I've walked around the garden so many times and I know it too well, if that makes any sense at all.
Yeah.
You can kind of get over familiar with it, and then you start getting critical of your own work, and then you can start tweaking bits and pieces yourself for no real reason apart from the fact that you can. And that doesn't do anybody any good. So I've stopped, I've put the pen down, from that perspective and set the drawing board to the side. So the plans are all sorted out. It's just the logistics, the organisation, the making sure that everybody is given all the information that they can to do their job. And it's you get feedback from everybody, and it's been just huge in terms of, yeah, that's great, and we know where we're at, we can make that happen.
Are you nervous as a 40-year young? I should add, Ian kind of looks like Ronan Keaton with a beard. That's just the way it is, with glasses as well. But we'll park all that there. Are you nervous? Have you got what I and Charlotte would have called squeaky bum time?
Yeah, I heard that in her interview. Actually, it's as I said before, the first sort of elation that you feel of yes, I've managed to get into the biggest, the most prestigious flower show in the world, and then the second one is I gotta build it now, and you're like, okay, how do I work make that all happen? But I have over-organized certain elements of this to the point of being totally overly top anal about certain elements of it. I mean, the contractor turned around and said, this is the most drawings that I have ever seen for any garden ever. And I says, is that a bad thing? He says, no, because it shows that you've thought about it all. And you're just trying to empty your head that little bit. Because once you empty your head of certain things and you pass that on, that information on to other people, it allows them to take that up. And then ask you back questions that they need to. But yeah, it's again, going back to what I said about when I visited Kelways, it's seeing all of those names that you thought were, the higher, those garden designers that you'd never be able to sort of be with, you know, the James Basson, the Kate Cool, all of those people that are just have their names written beside rows and rows of plants. And then there's Ian Price. And it was when I went to do Tatton, the first time that I kind of went, we're here, was when the label went up on the marquee and I saw Ian Price design up there, and I went, this is really real now, even though we've been working on the garden for a couple of weeks. But no, that's brilliant. And I haven't been visiting the flower show for three times I've been over there. I've never been able to step over the rope with any of those gardens. It's kind of a big thing to have, as I said before, my own real estate, my own space to bring everybody together and make it all happen. That my design, but it's so many people are involved in making it happen.
Cheapers, what can I say? Life is a funny curveball, and whether it's Peter in his own bubble, whether it's, you know, a conversation that me and Ian had almost five years ago, about the maybe of the dream of the getting to that level. And in the middle of it all, what you realise is gardens are one thing. Sounds nice, people who my mom would have given my dinner to, but people who she would have welcomed into the home. Ian probably fits quite snugly, and rightly so, into that category. A genuine, from the heart, kind, generous fella you could not meet. Ian Price, best wishes for May, June 2017 and Chelsea Flower Show. Sincere and greatest congratulations to you.
Pete, thank you so much again for the opportunity, for the chat, for the coffee, and thanks to the Sod Show for everything that you've done and everything you continue to do.
That's it. At Sod Show on Twitter, facebook.com/TheSodShow and sodshow.com.